Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. So I have been learning Hebrew for, I wouldn't even want to say actually how long I've been living in this country, because my level of Hebrew is not as good as it could be after this length of time. And I'd love to talk today about ways people can learn languages. It seems like such an elementary question. But the last time I was really focused in a very deliberate way on improving my Hebrew was before the AI revolution really took off. And the reason that I want to talk about these together is because I think it's brought out some tools that can be very helpful for people who are learning smaller world languages. Back in the day, I managed to learn Spanish to a pretty good degree, mostly by watching lots and lots of Spanish movies that were subtitled in English, and watching reading El País and watching, I'm trying to even remember the names of the TV stations. For a language like Spanish, there's an endless supply of material if you want to learn that way. And it can be a very good way to build up vocab. Here in Israel, Israelis frequently use this exact technique because there's a huge amount of content in English, of course, and someone has to add Hebrew subtitles. The challenge is that for those who want to learn languages this way, there's not such an incentive to add English subtitles to Hebrew content, because it's just a much smaller media market. I think Ezra's agreeing with us here. In any event, the way to learn a language is obviously talking through people, and I'm not suggesting that that's not the way to go, but I do think there is a lot of value to be said for increasing your vocabulary, because when you have a good vocab to draw upon, you have confidence, and you know that you can reach for the right words. There's nothing worse than knowing what you want to say and either having to fall back to a kind of very basic word or just not having the word at all, and that can be a frustrating experience. So that's where, if I said what do I want to do with my Hebrew, I want to use it a lot more firstly, and I want to build up my my vocab, both for everyday and for professionally more formal language that you might use in letters, because that's someone working in Israel. That kind of Hebrew, while Hebrew is a very informal language, there definitely is still, with regards and best wishes and all those kind of little things that really kind of touch up your correspondence when you're writing professionally. So Herman and Corin, I guess if I were to point to any tools that I would like to have on hand, and before I forget, one other aspect of Hebrew that's challenging for language learners specifically is the nekudot. Hebrew has vowels that are not written out. And it was actually only somewhat recently that Google Translate began adding them. And that was actually a major breakthrough for Hebrew language learners, because it can be ambiguous what the vowelization is. And the problem, really, I think anyone who's been learning Hebrew in Israel knows this, is if you give the faintest clue that you're a English speaker, Israelis will just switch to English so they can practice, and because there's such a good command of English generally here. So Herman and Corin, I guess what I'm asking for, back in the day I was using tools like Morphix, which was a dictionary app, but to be honest, it wasn't all that great. I very much like the idea as a kind of stress-free way of building up vocab. If I'm trying to prepare for an interaction in Hebrew, and I might need to, there's some vocab that I'm missing. Let's take the great leak fiasco of 2025. And let's imagine that there is a handyman coming over to check out the place. So I'd love to be able to just run some sentences through an app and have it speak back to me. So I'd say, for example, the leak started at this time, and I think the wall here is a bit porous. I'm using that sentence because it's an adjective I mightn't have, porous, or something else like that, where I'm just looking for the words. I can, of course, look them up in a dictionary, but I think there's something I personally find very beneficial about, especially with the nekudot thing, hearing it read out. And then we get into another important thing for language learners, spaced repetition. the key thing to retain vocab and to learn vocab is not just to get it, but to actually save it to a list, review that list periodically, and that's how it eventually beds down. So Herman and Corn, I'm on Android, and on the desktop I'm on Linux, but basically anything on the web. I'm very open to really anything that could be useful, including we should actually, one final thing to touch on is maybe I mentioned the relative lack of content in with English subtitles and using media to learn. And that's where I keep thinking that with the advent of Whisper for speech to text, and it's decently accurate in Hebrew, that actually can be a very powerful way to, if someone hasn't added them, it's now very easy to add them yourself. I'm never too sure because there's so many ways you can do it, using your target language, your native language, but I think I've seen some great Chrome extensions that actually do both and are literally intended to support language learning. Frequently when I'm watching the news in Hebrew is one way of both staying up to date with information. I could really use subtitling, and they have it in Hebrew to support people who can't hear. And I keep thinking, is it possible to just have an app that adds English subtitles additionally on the fly? Because that would be great as well. Basically, the way I like to learn languages, and I've had success with other languages in the past, is never to really sit down with a grammar book and a ruler and, you know, take down notes, because it's such a boring and unfulfilling process. I like learning languages through speaking them with people and through just consuming content. And then, ideally, you never even know that you're learning. It's just kind of soaking in. So Herman and Korn, the year 2026, what do you think AI and other tools I could be using as I work on my Hebrew? Over to you two.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of My Weird Prompts. I am Korn, and as always, I am joined by my brother and housemate here in Jerusalem.
Herman Poppleberry, at your service. And yeah, we are coming to you from a very rainy afternoon in the Holy City. It is February 4th, 2026, and it is the kind of day where you just want to hunker down with a hot drink and maybe finally tackle that project you have been putting off. Honestly, Korn, the rain is hitting the window so hard, I am half expecting another great leak of 2025.
Do not even joke about that, Herman. I still have trauma from mopping the kitchen floor at 3 in the morning while trying to remember the Hebrew word for sealant. But speaking of projects and language struggles, our housemate Daniel sent us a really interesting audio prompt this morning. He has been living here in Israel for a while now, and he is grappling with something that I think a lot of people living in a foreign country can relate to, the plateau of language learning.
It is a real thing. You get to that point where you can order a coffee, navigate the supermarket, and maybe complain about the bus being late, but the jump to professional proficiency or even just describing a complex home repair feels like a mountain you cannot quite climb. You are stuck in this intermediate purgatory where you know enough to survive, but not enough to thrive.
Exactly. Daniel was mentioning that he learned Spanish years ago through pure immersion, movies, newspapers, that kind of thing. But Hebrew is a different beast entirely. There is less content with English subtitles compared to the massive Spanish market, and the lack of vowels in standard text is a massive hurdle for anyone who did not grow up with it. He is looking for a 2026 approach to this. No grammar books, no boring drills, just tools and strategies that leverage where we are today with artificial intelligence and speech technology.
I love this because it is not just about Hebrew. It is about the democratization of language learning for smaller languages. If you are learning English or Spanish, the resources are infinite. If you are learning Hebrew or Hungarian or Thai, you have to be a bit more creative. But in 2026, the tech has finally caught up to the needs of the niche learner.
So, let us dive into the immersion gap first. Daniel pointed out that it is easy to find Spanish movies with English subs, but for Hebrew, it is a lot tougher. Herman, you have been following the developments in real-time transcription. Is the gap actually still there in 2026?
Honestly, the gap is closing faster than people realize. The technology has reached a point where local, on-device speech-to-text is incredibly accurate. Daniel mentioned Whisper, the open-source model from OpenAI. The fine-tuned versions for Hebrew are phenomenal.
So, how does he actually use that in his daily life? If he is watching a news broadcast on Channel 12 or Can 11 and there are no English subtitles, what is the workflow for a guy sitting at a Linux machine like Daniel?
This is where it gets fun. There are now browser extensions and mobile apps that act as a transparent layer over any video. They use a model like Whisper to listen to the audio stream and generate two things simultaneously, a transcription in the original Hebrew, including those crucial nikudot or vowel points Daniel mentioned, and a high-quality machine translation into English. It is basically creating closed captions on the fly for any live or recorded content.
Wait, so he could be watching a live interview with a politician or a cooking show, and he is seeing the vowels in real time? That is huge! Because one of the biggest frustrations with Hebrew is that a word like book, border, and barber can all look identical if you do not have the vowels. You are basically guessing based on context, which is a massive cognitive load.
Precisely. And because it is 2026, the latency is almost zero. You are not waiting for the sentence to finish. It is appearing word by word. For someone like Daniel, who wants to hear the language and see the vowels, this is the ultimate bridge. He can watch the evening news and see the Hebrew text with the dots, which helps him map the sounds to the letters. It turns passive watching into active decoding.
I want to talk about the professional side of things. Daniel mentioned the Great Leak of 2025, which we all remember vividly in this house. Trying to explain a plumbing issue to a handyman when you do not have the specific vocabulary is a nightmare. You end up pointing and saying this thing over and over. It makes you feel like a child.
It is humbling for sure. But this is where large language models have changed the game for just-in-time learning. In the old days, you would look up porous or sealant in a dictionary like Morphix, which Daniel mentioned. And Morphix was great for its time, but it gives you a list of words without the nuance of how a plumber actually speaks. In 2026, Daniel should be using what I call scenario-based prompting.
Walk me through that. What does a prompt like that look like?
Instead of looking up a word, he should tell the AI, "I am having a plumber over to fix a leak in a porous stone wall in Jerusalem. Write a dialogue in colloquial, slightly grumpy Israeli Hebrew between me and the plumber. Then, give me a list of the 10 most important technical terms used in that conversation, with nikudot and phonetic transliteration." The AI will give him the exact phrases he needs, like the wall is absorbing moisture, or we need to apply a waterproof membrane.
And then he can actually play that dialogue back using high-quality text-to-speech?
Absolutely. The voices available now are not robotic. He can generate that plumber conversation using a gravelly, casual Israeli male voice. He can listen to it while he is making coffee, over and over, until the cadence of the sentence feels natural in his mouth. It is about building muscle memory before the actual human shows up.
That is the hearing it read aloud part he was asking about. I find that when I hear a native-level AI voice say a phrase, I catch the musicality of the language that I miss when I am just reading. It is the difference between knowing the notes and hearing the song.
Exactly. And since Daniel is on Android and Linux, he can use integrated tools where he can highlight any text on his screen and have an AI-driven tutor explain the grammar within that specific sentence, not as a lesson, but as a footnote. It might say, "Hey, this verb is in the heful binyan, which usually indicates causation. It is learning by doing rather than memorizing tables of verb conjugations in a cold classroom at an opan."
I love that. It is like having a tiny, very patient Israeli brother in your pocket at all times. But let us get to the retention part. Spaced Repetition Systems, or SRS. Daniel mentioned he likes this. How do we automate that in 2026? Because making flashcards by hand is the fastest way to kill your enthusiasm for a language.
Oh, nobody should be manually making flashcards anymore. That is a relic of the 2010s. The modern workflow is a capture and sync system. When Daniel is using that AI overlay to watch the news, or when he is generating that plumber dialogue, he can click a single button on any word or sentence he does not know.
And that sends it where? To a spreadsheet?
No, it sends it to a backend like Anki, or a more modern equivalent that uses a large language model to automatically populate the back of the card. It adds the definition, a sample sentence in Hebrew, the English translation, the audio file of a native speaker saying it, and an image generated by an AI like DALL-E to provide a visual anchor. So he just encounters a word in the wild, clicks it, and tomorrow morning it is in his review queue with all that context already there.
So he is not learning. The cat is under the table from a textbook. He is learning the pipe has a hairline fracture, because that is what he actually needs to know. It turns the entire internet into a source for his personal curriculum.
Exactly. It is hyper-personalized immersion. He could even upload his professional CV or a manual for the specific equipment he works with, and the AI will prioritize those terms in his lessons. It is about reducing the friction between his life and the language.
You know, one of the things Daniel mentioned in his audio was the English switch. It is a classic Jerusalem problem. You try to speak Hebrew, the other person hears your accent, and they immediately switch to English to be helpful, or maybe just to practice their own English. It can be really discouraging. It feels like they are saying, "Your Hebrew is too painful to listen to. Let us just use my language."
It is the polite wall. It stops you from ever getting those reps in. But here's my advice for Daniel in 2026. Use the AI as your no-judgment zone. Before the plumber arrives, or before a big meeting, Daniel should spend 15 minutes in a voice-to-voice chat with an AI model like Gemini Live or the latest GPT voice mode.
How does that help with the social aspect, though?
He should give the AI a specific persona. He should say, "Act as a grumpy Israeli handyman. I am going to try to explain my leak to you in Hebrew. Do not switch to English. Correct my mistakes only if they make me misunderstood and push me to use more technical terms." It is a dress rehearsal. By the time the actual human shows up, Daniel has already said the words porous and moisture 10 times. He has the confidence. If you come out swinging with a confident opening sentence, the real plumber is much less likely to switch to English.
That makes sense. Language is a performance art. If you stumble on the first 3 words, the audience will try to save you. If you sound like you know what you are talking about, they will stay in the zone with you. Herman, look at you with the technical plumbing terms. Capillary rise? You've really been studying.
I did a deep dive after the kitchen flooded. Corn. Never again. I can now discuss the merits of different types of grout for 45 minutes in 3 different languages.
Fair enough. I want to go back to the professional side. Daniel mentioned writing letters or professional correspondence. Hebrew has this interesting formal light style. It is not as stiff as German, but it is definitely different from how people talk in a Friday night dinner. How does AI help him master that register?
In 2026, we have these amazing style transfer tools. Daniel could write a rough draft of an email in his current, somewhat basic Hebrew. Then he can feed it to an LLM and say, "Rewrite this to be professional but not arrogant, suitable for a letter to a government office or a high-level business partner." But the key is not to just copy-paste.
Right. Because then he is not learning. He is just using a crutch.
Exactly. He should use a compare and contrast tool. There are interfaces now that will highlight exactly what the AI changed and why. It might say, instead of using the word want, the AI used would appreciate, which is more standard in this context. By reviewing those changes, he is learning the professional register of the language through his own thoughts. It is like having a senior editor over your shoulder, guiding your hand rather than doing the work for you.
We have talked a lot about the how, but I want to touch on the what. Daniel mentioned he learned Spanish through movies. For Hebrew, the cultural output is smaller, but it is very high quality. We have shows like Fauda, Steisel, or Tehran. But what about the more everyday stuff? The things that really get you into the Israeli mindset?
I actually think Daniel should look into Israeli podcasts. There is a huge podcast scene here with shows covering everything from history and music to technology and society. And for news, there are many quality sources available. Even though some provide content in both Hebrew and English, they provide the context that makes the Hebrew news make sense.
But those are for native speakers. They speak fast, they use slang, and there are often no transcripts for the niche stuff.
Not true anymore. This is where the tools we mentioned earlier come back in. He can take any RSS feed or YouTube link of a Hebrew podcast and run it through a personalized learning portal. It will generate a full transcript with Nikodot, a vocabulary list of the most frequent new words for his specific level, and a slowed-down audio version that maintains the natural pitch. He can listen at 0.85 speed without everyone sounding like they are underwater.
That is a game changer. It makes native content accessible to intermediate learners. And because it is about topics he actually cares about, like tech or music, his brain is going to be way more engaged than it would be with a textbook chapter about a fictional student named David going to the post office.
Exactly. It is about moving from learning the language to using the language to learn about the world. That is, when the real progress happens. When you forget you are practicing Hebrew because you are too interested in the story about how a 1970s pop song became a national anthem.
You know, the underlying tech for this has evolved significantly. The problem used to be that AI would struggle with niche terms or brand names. But now, you can actually upload your own context file to your learning tools.
That is a great point. Daniel could upload his professional CV or a manual for the specific equipment he works with, and the AI will prioritize those terms in his lessons and flashcards. It is hyper-personalized immersion. It is amazing how much the landscape has shifted. I remember when learning a language meant sitting in a cold classroom at an Ulpan for 5 hours a day, repeating the teacher is standing near the blackboard.
The Ulpan has its place for the absolute basics, the alphabet and the core structure. But for someone like Daniel, who is already in it, the goal should be to reduce the friction between his life and the language. Let us summarize some concrete takeaways for him. If he is sitting at his Linux machine tonight, what is the first thing he should set up?
Step 1. Get a high-quality transcription overlay for his browser. Something that uses the latest speech-to-text models. This fixes his Spanish movie problem by making all Hebrew video content subtitled in real-time with those vital Nikodot.
Step 2. Set up a capture to SRS workflow. Whether it is Anki or a newer AI-native app, he needs a way to save words he encounters in the wild without stopping his flow. One click, and the AI does the rest.
Step 3. Practice high-stakes scenarios with voice-to-voice AI. Do the plumber talk. Do the professional interview. Do the explaining a complex idea to a housemate talk. Use the AI to build the muscle memory so he does not freeze up when the English switch happens.
And step 4, lean into the Nikodot. Use the tools that add those vowels back in. It is not cheating, it is how your brain learns to decode the script. Eventually, he will find he does not need them, but for now, they are his best friend.
And honestly, Daniel, do not be too hard on yourself. Hebrew is a Category 4 language for English speakers. It takes time. But in 2026, you have tools that the polyglots of 20 years ago would have killed for. You are not just learning a language, you are building a new way to interact with your environment.
It is about turning the frustration of a porous wall into a learning opportunity, which, knowing our house, will probably happen again next week anyway. I think I just heard a drip coming from the bathroom.
Oh no, not again. Where is my phone? I need to look up the Hebrew for mold-resistant grout and then run a quick simulation with the AI plumber.
See? Just-in-time learning. You are already doing it. You are a natural, Herman.
It never stops, Corm. It never stops. But at least this time, I will know exactly what to say when the water starts rising.
Well, I think we have given Daniel a lot to chew on. It is a fascinating time to be a language learner. The barriers are falling, and the smaller languages are finally getting the tech support they deserve. Thanks again to Daniel for the prompt. If you are listening to this and you have found a weird or wonderful way to use AI for language learning, we want to hear about it.
Go to myweirdprompts.com and use the contact form or send us an audio clip like Daniel did. We love hearing from you guys.
Also, if you are enjoying the show, please consider leaving us a review on Spotify or your favorite podcast app. It really does help other curious people find us, and we appreciate every single one of you who tunes in. This has been My Weird Prompts. I am Korn.
And I am Herman Poppleberry. Lehitraot.
Nice touch, Herman. Your accent is getting better.
I have been practicing with the grumpy AI plumber for 3 hours. He is very demanding.
All right, let us go see if that wall is actually leaking again. I will bring the mop, you bring the vocabulary list.
Deal. Bye for now, everyone.
Check out the website at myweirdprompts.com for the full archive and our RSS feed. See you in the next one.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.